but I had a point to make. Feel that? I was fully hard and strained against my jeans, my balls already swollen and heavy with need. Feel what it does to me when you go and shit all over our arrangement.
There's no arrangement. Lucas and I are friends.
Strong words spoken by a woman who sounded almost believable. If it wasn't for the fact she was grinding her sweet groin against my crotch. Lucas wants you.
Debatable. And even if he does, he can't have me.
But I can.
For a while.
Pause.
Maybe.
Fuck your maybe, lady. I crushed my mouth to hers so fast and so hard, she stumbled backward, even though there was no space to fall into. Grabbing the back of her neck, I bit her lower lip until I produced the sound I was after. The moan I knew had sat somewhere at the back of her throat since the day she fucking saw me, as I slowly but surely thrust between our clothes, dry fucking her. My firm torso against her soft everything made both our bodies tremble. She whimpered every time my cock hit her groin, and I inwardly cursed the pretty baby blue dress that separated our skin and matched her hair so nicely. She pulled her lower lip away and flicked her tongue into the roof of my mouth, dragging it leisurely, making my skull break into goosebumps. The surprise alone made my cock jump in appreciation, and it was already straining inside my tight jeans. Why couldn't I be a rapper? They had such great attire for erections. I could hide two indies inside Lil Wayne's trousers and no one would know. Fuck! I bit her shoulder to suppress a frustrated scream. The need to be inside her matched the need for a drink and two lines before stepping onto stage at Madison Square Garden. It justified making out with a girl 6 years my junior, like some sort of desperate teenager. Only I was a grown-up. No. No, I wasn't. I was a fucked-up kid with a babysitter. A babysitter I was going to eat alive. She trailed her tongue up my neck, to my chin, all the way to my mouth. I laughed, because it was so unsexy, yet so her. Real. Sweet. Indie.
You taste so salty.
She breathed into my mouth. You taste so innocent, I countered. She didn't smoke or drink or cuss. She didn't fuck around or try to get back at the world. She was pure and untroubled. Her problems were external. Fucked up brother, lack of money, dead parents. Inside, she was unsoiled. It helped. The idea I was wrecking her. The act of corruption fed my power hunger.
Alex!
She rolled her head to the side, giving me access to her neck, as one of my hands ran down her arse and squeezed, the other snaking between us and skimming over her pussy. She wore thick leggings. Guess I couldn't fault her for that. It was close to freezing on the airplane, plus Moscow was going to be a shit show weather-wise, and she knew better than not to check the weather, thanks to my cunty remark when we'd first arrived in Australia. I hated myself for riding her ass about her clothes. I also hated her leggings, and all leggings in general, and declared war on them. I rubbed her slit, salivating at how wet she must be under the layers of fabric between us. For fuck's sake! I groaned, throwing my head between her shoulder and neck. I needed so much more, but she was tiny. There was literally not enough to satisfy my hunger for her. My fingers were pushing so aggressively through the material of her leggings, I was sure I was about to tear them apart or set them on fire from the friction. Neither was an option that would score me brownie points on my way to her bed. Strip for me. To my surprise, she pushed me away, wiggling out of her knitted stockings while standing up. Her cheeks so red, I did want to take a picture this time, because she looked like foreplay. And foreplay and music were the reasons I'd been put on this earth. God, you're beautiful. And oh, was she ever. Like a painfully short, brilliant song that keeps you thirsty for more. She dumped her leggings on the floor and launched at me. My back hit the glassed shower from the other end. Viva la private jets. And we stumbled in together, so turned on we were fighting for each breath.
Oh, oh, oh!
She screamed in pleasure as our tongues met and danced together, my fingers nudging her panties aside and fluttering over her slit. Shit! She was soaked, and I didn't even dip one in. I rubbed my thumb up and down along her cunt, feeling my cock growing so impossibly hard and erect it was reaching the point of painful. But I couldn't rush her, and I didn't want to anyway. This was fun. Fun in the pre-adulthood kind of way, when you actually had to work hard and didn't wash your hands for 2 days straight after fingering a girl. Oh, indeed. I found her shy little clit and flicked it up and down, falling to the floor, the showerhead above our heads, while she straddled me, still in her dress.
I'm going to hate myself in an hour.
She bit her lip, but a loud groan escaped anyway. She was a moaner, a real one, not a fake one, not an I want you to like me one, and there were too many of those, especially when your net worth matched Adam Levine's. Hell, Fallon had put on a West End-worthy show for the first 6 months of our relationship. It was only after 8 months or so that I realized she didn't even like it up the arse and had just been humoring me so I wouldn't leave. Cheers, Fallon, for the vote of confidence. But I didn't want to think about Fallon, not when I had a perfectly fuckable girl in my arms. Shit! I laughed, our teeth clashing together in another messy kiss. Moan louder and you'll take over pirate radio stations in Mongolia. I only guessed we were flying above it, though geography was not high on my list of interests at that point. She pulled away, her eyes colored with confusion and embarrassment.
Really? Should I be quiet?
Why had I said that? Did I have a built-in cock-blocking device along with my huge red button of self-destruction? There was absolutely no way in hell we were going to stop messing around because of those fuckers outside. Even if I had to throw them out, and yes, I was aware we were 35,000 feet in the air. I extended my arm above my head and turned the faucet on. A stream of spluttery cold water rained down on us with a hiss. I rolled the handle all the way to the left, and steam bellowed over the glass around us as the water heated. It felt good, forbidden. Crazy, just as we were. That's better. Hit those high notes for me, Stardust, and go to town on my fingers. I want to watch your face as you come, and you better come, because we're not leaving this airplane until you do. I slipped two fingers into her pussy, studying her closely. She flinched at my rough touch, but there was no mistaking how hot and wet she was for me. There was a bucket of ice with glass bottles of Coke beside my shoulder. Alfie enjoyed long baths and cool soda when we were flying. And for the first time in a long time, I wasn't an angry piece of shit because of that. Your cunt is so warm. I sucked in a breath, still watching her. Our clothes were heavy and drenched. Indy moved her hips to create more friction between my hand and her pussy, and I tried hard not to grin like the perv I was.
Oh, God,
she croaked when I pushed my fingers in and out of her.
I don't even want you.
To this, I curled my fingers, burrowing in her wetness, and pulled them out slowly, sucking her warm juices into my mouth. She tasted like 1,000 orgasms, and like a fucking liar. No, I asked, holding her gaze.
No.
At least she had the decency to try to look away. I jerked her by the back of her neck in one movement and shoved my tongue into her mouth, forcing her to taste herself. Our tongues collided and danced, and she drank herself up on a loud moan. I pulled away and held her face. Your cunt begs to differ. I grabbed an ice cube. She protested, grinding her pussy into my cock, making me want to grab her by the hair and fuck her on the floor. Not yet. Soon, but not yet.
More.
The pain in her voice made pre-cum gather at my tip. I shoved the ice cube into her pussy, and she shrieked, her entire body coming even more alive on top of mine as I sat on the floor, my back pressed to the jacuzzi. I clasped her chin between my fingers, guided her back to my mouth, and silenced her with a kiss as I fucked her with the ice cube, feeling how it melted inside her sweet, warm folds. Pushing in and out, I made sure I stretched her good. She was too innocent to just drive into, and I was an asshole, but not a sadist. Such a decent girl. My breath was hot against her skin. She relentlessly chased my fingers and ice cube, looking drunk on the border of shit-faced. All I needed to do was touch her clit once, and she'd explode like I'd pushed a red button, which was exactly why I didn't do it. But you'll be dirty for me, I added. To that, she didn't reply. I slipped my hand into the bucket again and shoved another ice cube, and she winced, arching her back before rubbing her pussy and clit all over my abs, wanting a lot more than ice and fingers inside her. Answer me, I growled.
I'll be dirty for you,
she rasped, riding my hand like she did it for a living. Take my cock out, I ordered, my voice dripping chill almost as much as her pussy. She stopped grinding against me for a second, staring at me through dreamy eyes, the droplets coming down from the tips of her eyelashes and plastering her hair onto her forehead. There's an orgasm at the end of this journey, I smirked. She reached between us and unbuckled me, taking my cock out with shaky fingers. She spent a few moments gaping at it, just as she had when I took a piss in front of her the first day we were on tour.
You're uncut.
I wanted to laugh, but was too aroused to function. Her eyes were big and wide. Did it really matter? It never did to any of the women I'd been with before. Then again, I was Alex Winslow. I was told by Blake and Alfie, though, that sometimes American women were a bit iffy about the blanket on the piggy. I took her palm and wrapped it around my shaft, squeezing my hand around hers and feeling the pearl of pre-cum between us dropping onto my clothed thigh. Problem? She shook her head.
It's just different.
You've only been with one guy. The fucker.
I know, but still.
We weren't going to talk about the benefits of circumcision today. I moved her hand back and forth, showing her how to rub me off rough, the way I liked it.
Make me come, and I'll do the same to you. I don't come on demand.
Her eyes met mine. I slid three fingers into her needy pussy and curled them, hitting her G-spot at the same time I pushed my callous thumb just above her clit. New game, new rules. You come when I tell you to.
Oh!
Yeah, Earl was right, with extra fucking foreskin. She gave me a wank while I fingered her delicious cunt. The water pounding between us was a constant reminder that people were probably asking questions, and even more importantly, that we were going to walk out of here soaking wet or worse, wrapped in towels, giving them the answer they didn't want to hear. Not that I gave a toss. Actually, it was better if everyone knew once and for all who she belonged to, because it definitely wasn't Waitrose. Stardust gave a terrible hand job. She didn't use enough pressure and treated my cock like it was about to fall off my body. But I was so high on what we were doing and where we were doing it, I got off anyway. And when I felt the climax pressuring the base of my spine, climbing up like a ladder, I finally put her out of her misery and gave her clit some TLC, rubbing the swollen thing in circles while shoving my tongue into her mouth like I wanted her to choke on it.
Jesus shit! Oh, wow!
She exclaimed. She sounded surprised, and that made everything so much hotter, even though Jesus got the credit for all my hard work. Say my fucking name when you come, I hissed. I didn't know what to expect. Maybe she would call me Winslow, as she often did, like I wasn't a person but a brand. But when the name Alex rolled out of her lips, I shot my load onto her baby blue dress, groaning and pushing her to the floor, on her back, to finish the job. I didn't let her come on my fingers. No. I pressed my knee between her thighs and let her come on nothing, empty and deprived, with just a little taste for more. I bent down, kissed her lips, thumbs on cheeks, and watched her squinting under the drops. Her face was rosy, her lips puffy from my abuse on her mouth. I stood up and left her on the floor, thinking, for the first time in years, this is better than alcohol, better than the champagne I smuggled. Don't give yourself a hard time, darling, especially as next time I touch you, you will be on your knees for me.
Indy. The minute I came down from the high, I realized how low I'd gone. And once I did, everything became clearer, just like the steam that had dried off of the glassed shower. My feet felt like 1,000 hornets had stung them, cold and hot all at once, and I shivered quietly. It wasn't so much the shame of letting Alex finger me in the shower, although that was grossly out of character for me. We were both single and weren't hurting anyone. It was the fact I'd allowed him to do that on a plane with people right outside, and now they were all going to know what had happened. I'd never be able to live it down. Even if his friends didn't care, which I'm sure they didn't, I wasn't the first girl to fall into Alex Winslow's trap. He was made for legends, almighty like an angry god. Too bad he knew it. Alex yanked his jeans down, kicking them through his army boots and wrapping his waist in a clean, dry towel. All right. He threw me a glance down his nose, his thick eyebrows drawn together. I was still sitting on the edge of the jacuzzi, combing my hair through wobbly fingers. Maybe I was stuck up and goody-two-shoes and a prude, but life had taught me a valuable lesson, and that lesson was that sometimes the people you were attached to don't come back. With my parents, I hadn't had much choice, but with Alex, I did, and I'd knowingly let him in, into my thoughts, and now my panties. Sure. I rose to my feet with the intention of squeezing my clothes dry. He turned toward the door, forever blasé.
There's a blow dryer in the left cabinet. Step out of your clothes before you dry them, unless you want third-degree burns. I'll go bullshit your way out of this one.
Do you think they'll buy it? I munched on my lower lip again.
I'm a recovering drug addict. At this point, it's easier for me to lie than say the truth.
Oh, I blurted. Apparently, I was not the most eloquent human being after getting fingered by a rock star. You live, you learn. He left the room, and I immediately glued my ear to the door in an attempt to hear everything outside. It was pitiful, but no more pathetic than everything else I'd done so far on this tour.
You're in a towel,
Blake observed matter-of-factly when Alex reemerged from the bathroom.
Why on earth are you in a towel? Stardust dumped her coffee all over my crotch. For fuck's sake, why?
It was Alfie's turn to speak. I grinned to myself, my heart thrumming in my chest wildly.
I don't know. Who knows why women do anything? She's probably on her period. Your shirt is gone, too. She dumped my cup over my head. Damn, mate, she really hates you. Clearly.
Alex's voice dripped sarcasm. I covered my mouth, suppressing a laugh. That was my problem with Alex. He was too charming for his own good. Beneath the cliché of a tortured rock star who escaped to the arms of drugs and booze and had enough ink on his skin to print an entire edition of War and Peace, he was a lost boy, a fantastically witty lost boy, a lost boy who was incredibly lovable, even though he may not have thought so.
Where's Indy anyway?
Lucas's voice was different from the rest. He sounded annoyed rather than amused.
Bathroom, last I checked. How come?
Blake grumbled.
She's suffering from massive diarrhea. This may or may not have to do with that beef-fried rice we had before takeoff.
I knew it. My stomach's been feeling funny, too.
Alfie slapped his thigh by the sound of it. I was going to kill Alex. My hands balled into fists. And I used every ounce of my self-control not to waltz out and tear my vocal cords yelling at him. Then he continued,
I think it's going to get loud in there, so I suggested she use the blow dryer.
I tried to tell myself he was protecting my dignity in his own twisted, backward, exceptionally uncultured way.
Brutal, Blake mumbled. Bullshit, Lucas spat out.
I pressed my forehead to the door and squeezed my eyes shut. My cheeks hurt from the huge smile on my face. My heart squeezed for an entirely different reason. I turned the blow dryer on and heard them laughing.
Damn you, Winslow.
Chapter 16. Alex. I was lying face down on my bed in Moscow, listening to my heartbeat through the silence of the pillow, when Blake walked into the room. It was the first time in weeks he left me unattended for more than 2 minutes. I'd fault him for being so distrusting, but I did think about that champagne in my bag more than I wanted to admit. My own bloody security blanket at this point. There's something you should know. I stayed silent, allowing him to finish his grand announcement. If Fallon were here, she'd call his behavior extra, which in itself was extra. Hollywood just made people really insufferable. Lucas was saying he felt bad about Blue catching a stomach bug earlier. He's going to the drugstore to get us some crackers and Advil. I elevated my head, ignoring the dull pain it sent to my neck. Is he fucking deaf? Blake kicked his smart shoes against a dresser, unbuttoning his smart shirt. I'm serious, I grunted. Is Stardust's pussy worth his job? Is Fallon's worth yours? Blake retorted. Spastic. I was engaged to Fallon. Lucas barely knew Indigo. At any rate, he might already be on his way to her room, Blake said, now standing by the bathroom door. Look, I'm not sure what's going on between you and her, but I know you were in the bathroom together, and not for a short time either. I rolled to my back and stared at the ceiling, marveling at his words. Hanging out with Indy was the opposite of what I was trying to do. Singapore had been a one-off. I'd wanted to show her we were compatible, and I had. Now it was time to take our relationship to the strictly sexual zone. On the other hand, the idea of Lucas spending time with her was even less appealing than doing it myself. She was going to say yes to Lucas, not giving much damn about the restrictions I put her under. She wanted to see the world. She was going to see the world, whether I liked it or not. I had two choices. Be the one who'd show it to her, or watch my backstabbing frenemy do it. Cheers for the heads up. I jumped up, padding to the walk-in closet. Whoever Blake had hired had already hung up all my crap and ironed my stupid jeggings. Forever a great liar. I moved the champagne from my suitcase to my duffel bag before they got their hands on it. The concept of having it, in itself, kept me saner, or at least less crazy, like a suicide pill. I slipped into a dark grey coat. Blake watched me silently from the threshold of the bathroom as I walked into my shoes on my way to the door, stuffing my wallet into my back pocket. Let me accompany you, he said politely. Fuck off, I answered, also politely. I slammed the door just to be a dick and sauntered down the hallway. My first stop was not, in fact, Stardust's room. It was Lucas's door. I took a step back toward the opposite wall and crashed my foot into it, leaving a foot-sized dent. I told him, time and time again, not to mess with my babysitter. This was a warning to let him know that next time he was going to hitchhike back to England, because I was going to fire his ass and empty his bank account. Also, Britain was an island, so I hoped to fuck he was a good swimmer, because the odds of him completing the tour weren't in his favor. I made my way back to Indy's room. It was in front of mine, as per usual, and drummed on the door with open palms dramatically. She opened after a minute, looking fresh, her hair dried, a silky beige dress hugging her tiny figure. She had a matching wool scarf, a shade darker, wrapped around her delicate neck. Stardust! I placed my elbow on her doorframe, staring down at her. She looked a little confused by my being there,
like she still couldn't believe I actively sought her out. That makes both of us. You look pissed, I observed. You told your friends I'm having a poop crisis. She blinked slowly. Telling them the truth would have given you a heart attack. Besides, Alfie and Lucas started looking at you like you were their next meal, and I didn't like that. Two birds, one stone. Why are you here? Because I can't bear the thought of Lucas standing in my spot. Wanted to check if your head is still intact and not blown up from embarrassment for doing something dirty with a boy. That's the chivalrous thing to do, correct? She hugged the door and nibbled on that poor lower lip of hers, all cracked and bruised. First of all, you're giving yourself way too much credit. And second of all, you're as chivalrous as a Tasmanian devil. Your business is hanging all over the tabloids, literally and figuratively. Your penis is the new kittens on YouTube, for Christ's sake.
I see you finally decided to Google me.
She shrugged. Lucas gave me his laptop until the end of the tour. Red cloth. Angry bull. Clenched fists. Don't kill Lucas. He's not worth the jail time. I grabbed her hand and yanked her out of her room. You just earned yourself a new laptop. My treat.
Indy. I bet if I'd told Alex that Lucas let me crash at his place, he'd buy me a whole house just to spite him. It was obvious that whatever was happening between him and me was also a direct result of trying to keep me away from his drummer. A different girl may have taken a step back, but my life was such a hot mess, on and off the tour, Alex was the least of my problems. After he bought me a laptop, which I insisted on not taking, but he maintained I'd make use of after the tour ended, we took a ride. Moscow was cold, gray, and old, like a stern grandmother. When I got back to the hotel, I immediately installed Skype and tried to call Natasha, but she didn't answer. Then I stared at my crack-screened phone and willed it to ring, feeling hope slither out of me like blood from an open wound. Finally, I threw in the towel and started working on my Paris dress. It was well after 11 p.m. local time, and I was just starting to relax, the hum of the mini sewing machine lulling me out of my anxiety about Craig. Only 2 more months until I'd get back and take care of them. Already, the bi-monthly payments helped pay for so many necessities back at home. This particular dress I was working on was a difficult one to make because I had to write on the patches with a fine pen. It took twice the amount of time to produce, but I knew too well that things we earn through hard work are always more precious. My window overlooked the Red Square, which I'd been to earlier that day with Alex. We had a driver, and that made me feel like some kind of a princess, and not in a good way. When we were walking toward the Kremlin, Alex gave me the brief history of the place. He said it costs $200,000 a year for the museum to maintain Lenin's corpse in perfect condition, and that it was already 147 years old.
I'm telling you, Stardust, I've seen pictures. He doesn't look a day over 56. A little waxy, sure, but no more than the average Hollywood starlet.
Alex told me he'd been to Moscow 3 times before, and if the tour wasn't so condensed, he would have loved to have shown me around. I didn't believe him at all, knowing he was a liar, but it was still nice to hear. When darkness blanketed the Russian capital, Alex asked the driver to take us to see the ugliest, most awesome thing in the world. I laughed as I tucked myself in the back seat of the Renault Duster and tried to swallow down my excitement when butterflies cartwheeled in my belly. He scooted so close I could feel his breath on my skin again, and my thighs clenched when I thought about the last thing he'd said to me about being on my knees for him. It's pretty dark out. I tried to sound indifferent to spending time with him. Alex wasn't wrong, I decided, when I drank in Moscow like bitter coffee with a bite. It looked new, with skyscrapers and manicured parks and smoggy air, virtues of a fast-paced city. At the same time, it looked old, with trains of mass-built buildings from its Soviet past stretched out for miles. I found out what Alex was talking about when the car rolled toward an embankment. The driver cut the engine and sat back. The monument was unmistakable because it hovered over the Moskva River like a monster. Winslow, once again, had been correct. It was huge, elaborate, and scary. Yes, plain creepy, like something out of Game of Thrones, of a man on a ship. The statue was holding something in his hand, staring in the distance. That is, I started,
the 10th ugliest building in the world, according to the virtual tourist.
Alex finished for me, sticking his head near my shoulder and grinning to catch a glimpse of the statue too.
Peter the Great. The irony is, not only is it quite ugly, but Peter the Great didn't even like Moscow. He changed Russia's capital to St. Petersburg before they switched it back. Welcome to human logic.
Our driver started texting, making himself invisible, and it was easy to forget we weren't alone. How do you know all these things? I asked.
I like history.
Why?
Because it gives me better tools to understand the future.
I nodded. Alex wasn't being patronizing or blabby. In another rare time since the first time I'd met him, he showed genuine interest in something and was sharing it with me. It frightened me, the idea that he could be open and real. Because the very thing that held me together was the idea that Alex Winslow was in fact a pile of stereotypes sewn together into a persona even he couldn't distinguish anymore. He ticked every single box. Rock star, troubled, drug addict, tattooed. It was embarrassingly familiar. I swiveled my head to the window again. Can we go back to the hotel?
Why?
Because I want to survive you. I would like to call my family. Alex shrugged in a, women, huh, what can you do, catching the driver's gaze in the rearview mirror, who returned the same international man-woman signal. We rolled forward. A soft knock on the door made me snap out of my reverie. I frowned, turning off the sewing machine positioned by the drawn curtains. I stood up, knowing it couldn't be Alex. He was never lenient, always rough and dirty, and maybe that was why my heart throbbed fiercely every time I did as much as hear something drop in the other room. I opened the door, staring back at Lucas.
Hey, sleepyhead, where have you been?
Lucas flashed me a tentative smile. I took a step sideways, leaving it for him to decide whether he wanted to come in. I didn't give a damn about Alex warning us both off, but I wasn't sure where Lucas stood on our boss's threat. He'd probably come here to grab his laptop anyway. I turned around to seize it from the desk, but Lucas snagged my wrist.
Can you tell me one thing?
I looked up at him. His face was angelic, even while tense, open. Fresh. He was Alex's age, but he didn't share the same internal hardship, and that somehow made him look so much younger. Alex was wrong. There was no way Lucas could be bad or vindictive. I read faces the way bookworms reread their favorite paragraphs, religiously, and I knew that whatever Lucas was doing, he had his reasons. Maybe, I answered. I need to know what it is first. He licked his lips.
If, and I'm not asking you to tell me what's going on between you and Alex because that's none of my business. At some point he's too much for you. Would you let me know? It probably looks like we hate each other, he and I, but trust me, we go way back.
I stared at him blankly.
I'm just worried.
For who? Me or him? I asked.
Both of you. In different ways. You're a strong girl. He's like a black feather. Less resilient than he appears.
Pause. I stared at my feet. It looked like Lucas didn't want us together, and I was starting to feel like maybe Alex had a good reason to think his frenemy wanted me.
Never mind.
Lucas shook his head.
Just let me know if you need me. He thinks I want in your knickers. Hell, you probably feel the same way too. But trust me, I just want to be here for you.
He said. My eyebrows nearly touched at this. Maybe the tour was forcing me to embrace my inner cynic. Luke rushed to add,
You're on the road with a bunch of blokes you've never met before, and your boss is giving you crap. Whatever's going on with your family back in L.A., I'm sure it's not easy on you.
It's not, I admitted.
I'm here to help.
He offered me his hand. This time I took it, unaware of the chain reaction it would prompt, unaware of all the secrets we held between our palms.
Chapter 17. Alex. In my defense, Ozzy Osbourne snorted ants, and Keith Richards snorted his dad. So, in comparison, I wasn't being that crazy. Having said that, I had, indeed, been pretty fucking out of my mind when I decided to turn around in the middle of a gig, walk over to Lucas's drum kit, and smash my silver boot right into the bass. It had collapsed right into Lucas's spread thighs, and he widened his eyes, his arms still midair holding the sticks, watching me like this came as a great surprise. It shouldn't have. Fucker could have seen it from three countries over, and he'd kept pushing and pushing until I had no choice but to shove him out of my life. But I digress. It had started half an hour before the show. I'd already been on edge because Blake had locked us both in my dressing room and launched into one of his self-righteous monologues that served to stroke his own ego. It had taken me a few minutes to understand what exactly he was yelling and sweating about. The champagne. He'd sifted through my shit and found it, which was quite ironic, because the past few days were the first in a very long time where I hadn't wanted to drown my sorrow in alcohol. "When I find the cunt who keeps sending them to you, I'll kill them. But in the meantime, why play into their hands? Why, Alex? You're so much going for you. You have everything going for you. You're rich and young and talented and adored. You're a religion, for fuck's sake. You're writing what might be your best album yet. All you have to do is not fuck it up. Is it really that hard?" Was he kidding? Of course it was that hard. Did he think the entire zip code of Hollywood wanted to be addicted to painkillers, alcohol, cocaine, and plastic surgery? Did he reckon I was just so bored with my perfect, wholesome life? Finding happiness as an intelligent person was like finding a real-life unicorn. Blake was pacing the room and throwing his arms in the air, exasperated.
"I'm trying. I really am. Trying to make you and Jenna happy, even though you both give me very different instructions on how to make it happen. I'm trying to respect your wishes not wanting to take Hudson along because you hate big entourages and still make sure that you're sober. But it's so difficult. You're so difficult, Alex. Most of the time, I think the only reason you're sober is because we're watching over you all day."
"It is," I said from my place on the couch, lighting up a fag. Now that Blake was riding my ass about it, of course I needed a fucking drink. Oh, irony, you and your twisted sense of humor. Blake stopped in front of me, hands on his waist, eyes to the ceiling.
"It's not good enough. You need to make more of an effort to change. That means taking better care of yourself, eating better, actively trying to get over your addiction, and yes, talking to your parents. You'll have to see them soon, so I'm not sure why you keep postponing that conversation."
He was right. My entire staff, all 50 roadies or so, plus my band and my manager slash babysitter, was sober because of me, and I hadn't even made the smallest effort by throwing the champagne in the trash. I'd kept it because I was still an addict. I still thought about alcohol and cocaine every single fucking day. I missed it. I didn't resent it. I was like a rich, spoiled son of a bitch who got caught doing something bad and had his parents buy his way out. Just because I was physically clean didn't mean I'd learned my lesson. My only drawback from drinking the champagne was, A, I was never alone, and B, I was momentarily occupied with getting into my Hanny's knickers and was so close to my goal, cocking it up was out of the question. I needed to grow up. But growing up meant letting go of who I'd been for the past 7 years. The last time I was sober was when I was 20. I didn't know myself anymore. Not without the drugs. There was a stranger in my house, and that stranger was me. The only thing I didn't agree with him about was my parents. I didn't need to talk to my family. My family did enough talking about me, to the press, often. Twats. If Blake thought it was some kind of a pivotal moment where I snapped out of it and finally understood how low I'd stooped, he obviously gave me too much credit. I knew I was in deep trouble and that I was a piece of shit, but I still had a few more inches of abyss before I really hit rock bottom. Blake dragged the coffee table between us aside and squatted down between my legs. It felt intimate and weird, and I groaned with annoyance. He plastered his hands on my knees. My PI can't track the person who sends you alcohol. Can you? Think hard. It's Bushel, I said without as much as a blink. Who else could it be? Blake shook his head, sighing. Stop it, mate. He's not after you. Bollocks, but whatever. Maybe it's Lucas, I sneered. You're insane, Blake muttered. I decided to bend my mate a little harder, see if he could break. There was something beautiful in fucking up my own life and alienating people by choice. It gave me the illusion that I was in control, that the choice was mine. I don't know, Blake. Maybe it's Alfie. Maybe it's Jenna. Hell, maybe it's even you. Maybe you want me to cut this tour short so you can go back and fuck her like you've been planning for the past few years. Who knows? Every single person I work with wants to either fuck me or fuck me over. Some, both. Nothing surprises me anymore, other than the sheer astonishment at finding someone who doesn't want or need anything from me. You wanted me to go to rehab. I did. You wanted me to write an album. I am. Now you want my trust. That can't happen, Blake. Not anymore. You've done so much shit in the name of saving my brand, you don't get to keep the fucking friend title. I stood up, adrenaline running in my veins as I shoved his hands aside. These words had sat dormant inside me for far too long, I realized. Blake always wanted what was best for us. His career was intertwined in mine. And he had good intentions. Billboard hits, sobriety and stability in mind. But he didn't think twice or ever stop to wonder before he ran people over on his way there. Including yours truly. He'd covered so many of my scandals by dumping the blame on other people. And putting the blame on me when he fucked up things. I knew better than to think he was the same guy I'd shared a two-bedroom flat with in Clapham. We were both different. Blinded by money and destroyed by fame. Want to ruin a relationship in less than 5 steps? Put a few million quid between the two people and see what happens. Blake shot up, so now we were in front of each other, panting hard, ready to yield our verbal swords. It was liberating to finally let all the shit that bubbled beneath the surface rise.
Everything I've done was to help you. I saved you,
he bared his teeth.
And I made you,
I said, dumping my lit cigarette on the floor and stomping on it. I pulled his shirt and crushed our noses together.
Never forget that, Blake. Before you were Alex Winslow's manager, you were just a loser from Watford who had to split rent 3 ways to live in South London. I made you, and I will undo you if need be. So I suggest you find the bastard who sends me alcohol, because by now I think we both know it's not the hotel staff that brings it to my door. It's who has access to a lot of people or can bribe his way with the hotel staff. And that's the last time I hear you talk about my family. If I want to see them, I will. Right now. I'd be more worried about our relationship, mate.
It was the last word that made his face crumple. I slammed the door so hard in Blake's face, I wouldn't be surprised if his ears rang deep into 2034. Stalking down the corridor, I took deep, desperate breaths, trying to get to the break room without killing anyone on my way. I needed something strong, or a good lay. Where the fuck was Indy anyway? Blake was right. At the heart of it all, I was still an addict. If there had been alcohol or coke anywhere near me, I would have consumed the hell out of it without even taking a moment to think it through. Maybe it was time to call in some groupie favors. Maybe it was time to live up to my reputation and snort my frustration away. The only reason I stopped by Lucas's slightly ajar door was because I heard weeping. It was soft and polite, like the person who was crying didn't have the guts to do it all the way. I halted, my back to the wall next to Lucas's door. "I'm so sorry," I heard Waitrose say, and to that Indy cried even harder. What had he done to her? Nothing, most likely. She was crying about something else, which threw my mind in overdrive. It was probably family-related. She'd been dealt shitty cards in life, but unlike me, she was still deep into the poker game, trying to fool people into thinking she could win. And Waitrose was the person she'd run to when sorrow found her. The thing about flashbacks is that they really do your head in. His relationship with Fallon was the first to spring into mind. I'd been on tour, and he'd stayed in Los Angeles to help Blake and Jenna with the demos I'd left behind. He'd been there for Fallon when she'd overdosed, and when she needed to pour her little black heart out. He'd been there for her the first time she sought out Will Bushell. And he'd been there for them when they snuck around behind my back and started fucking at the very same Chateau Marmont I stayed at these days, because I'd had to sell my L.A. apartment and couldn't even stomach the idea of calling myself a permanent resident of that god-awful city. "Let it all out," Lucas said. I leaned forward and watched them through the crack between the door and the frame. They were sitting on the same love seat, their head pressed against his chest. He kissed her forehead. He kissed her forehead. He kissed her forehead. He kissed her goddamn fucking forehead.
"I love my brother, Luke, but I don't like him at all."
"We'll sort it out, Indy. We will." "We? Since when were they a we? He was barely a fucking he, acting like a pussy every turn of the way." Stardust sniffed and pulled away, wiping the tears on her face with the back of her hand.
"It's like ever since we lost our parents, he's just this crazy, volatile person. Who does that, Luke? Who does what he did tonight?"
"Your brother is hurting," Lucas said, and something inside me twisted like barbed wire. Her brother sounded a lot like me. Maybe it was premature to think she'd get attached to me. Why would she want another knobhead to stress about?
"Sometimes I think I should just hand in my resignation and go back. Now's not the time to be away from home."
"Stay," he squeezed her palm. "The money you make will be able to help your family more than any pep talk you could give Craig, and we both know that." I wanted so badly to push the door open on them, waltz in, yank her up, and escort her outside before I beat him senseless. In fact, the only reason why I hadn't done that was because Stardust seemed genuinely distressed. And for the first time in forever, I allowed someone else to steal a small slice of the limelight and have it their way. She didn't need me. She needed him. Did it make me want to kill him? Yes. Did it make it any less true? No. Anyway, that's the short story of how I ended up ruining Lucas's drum set. I was six songs into the gig when I turned to take a breather from looking at all the faceless faces below me. I caught Waitrose glancing sideways and smiling at someone. At the someone I'd fingered 24 hours ago. That had done it. I'd walked over and broken his drums, admiring the fact I'd held back from yanking out the stand and smacking him with it. Baby steps, right? "What the fuck?" He jumped up. "The fuck is you're fired," I'd said, already storming backstage.
And what a fucking fuck that is indeed, my friend!
I was now chasing Indy. Chasing her. As in spotting her and going after her. Perhaps it was not my finest hour, but it made sense to do it at the time. She turned around and power walked toward the main dressing room, probably to Blake, most likely to make sure I didn't kill her or anything. I grabbed the tip of her flared black dress and yanked her into my chest. She gasped, falling into my body, and to her horror, my erection.
I get that you're going through shit, Stardust. We all are. That's the nature of being born into this chaos called life. But this is getting a little old, and not so fun anymore. So I've decided to fire Lucas, just to make sure you don't run off to him next time your brother pisses you off. Where's my thank you for that, huh? We both know it should have been you I gave the boot to.
She turned around, and my heart had a hard-on at the prospect of how she was going to react. Not one to disappoint, Indy's cheeks blazed red as she raised her hand. And, instead of slapping me, pushed me with every ounce of power in her, slamming my back against the wall.
You don't have to fire me, because I quit,
she announced, her voice pitching high. Just then, Blake appeared from my dressing room, looking ready to admit himself to the ER with a severe heart attack.
You stormed off the stage!
He looked so wired I thought he was going to explode. A drop of saliva decorated his chin. He looked rabid. I kept stalking behind Stardust, who was still running away from the scene, even though there was nowhere for her to go. She couldn't leave the stadium without us. Blake followed both of us. Cirque de stupid. And of course I was the leading clown.
I fired Waitrose too!
At least he had the courtesy not to ask me why. The answer was obvious, and he knew it, because he was there to talk me off the ledge every time I thought of throwing Lucas out of my life. I followed Indy until she was faced with the end of the hallway and had nowhere else to go. She turned around, narrowing her eyes at me and plastering her back to the door, clinging into her personal space.
What do you want from me, Alex?
Everything. I want everything and then all the things you've already given away to other people. I want them back too.
Don't play coy.
I grabbed her wrists when she tried pushing me off again, but she didn't really mean it. I know it sounds creepy, but it was true. Her hips bucked forward, and her breath was fast and husky.
It's gig night, and I just fucked up royally. We have work to do tonight, Stardust.
She threw her head back and laughed. The voice she was producing so sardonic, I barely recognized it as hers.
Work? Your whole tour is crumbling. You fired your drummer, your babysitter quit, and you walked off the stage.
And hit a bottle of champagne, and began messing with you only because Waitrose showed the slightest interest. The list was longer and acutely embarrassing.
You can't quit. Why? Because you need the money too much, and I need you too much.
What was I saying? What was I doing? I thought I heard Blake gasp, and I couldn't even blame him. I hadn't subconsciously drunk that bottle of champagne and then blacked it out, had I? Stardust took a step toward me and cracked a smile, with teeth and all. And I finally saw her for who she really was. A cunning pixie, a thief of hearts. She was shy and reserved, but she had power now, and she knew it. It made our game so much more interesting.
I'll stay for the money, but I won't help you anymore. What are you going to do to me? You can't force me to talk to you. All I signed up for is watching you.
Oh, Stardust. I thrust my face into hers, laughing. This was where I thrived, in our cruel banter.
You have no idea what I can do to you. But you're sure as hell
about to find out.
Chapter 18. Indy. Jenna. Has Blake been fooling around on the tour? Indy. Does Alex usually fool around on tours? Hudson.
Ladies, I'm here for this.
Jenna.
Don't mind Hudson. He can solely communicate with you using offensive gifts.
Hudson.
Not true.
Hudson.
Okay, a little true.
Jenna.
Alex is complicated. He's mostly ambivalent toward women. He'd engage in one-night stands occasionally, but not as often as one might think. The only woman he ever talks about is Fallon, and even that is drenched in negativity. Your turn.
Indy. Blake has not been seeing anyone or fooling around. He works and argues with Alex, then works some more. He hasn't even looked at a woman since we boarded the plane to Australia.
Hudson.
Jenna, talk to us. Are you and Blake finally going to bump uglies?
Jenna.
Hudson, leave the chat.
Hudson.
Like hell I will.
Jenna.
You tell Alex everything. Go away.
Hudson.
No.
Jenna Holden removed Hudson Diaz from the chat. Indy. Dot, dot, dot. Indy. Are you dating Blake?
Jenna.
No.
Jenna.
But we slept together.
Jenna.
And I'm pregnant.
Jenna. I sound like one of the idiots I used to laugh at when I'd read teenage magazines when I was 15.
Indy.
One, cruel. And two, you need to tell him.
Jenna.
I don't know. I don't even know if I'll keep the baby.
Don't tell him.
Indy.
I won't, but you should. It took Blake, Alfie, and Lucas to throw Alex into the van. He put up a good fight, but what struck me even harder than the fact it had taken three grown men to shove him into the vehicle was that no one cared he'd fired Lucas. They'd all acted like everything was normal, dismissing Alex's authority. I'd needed to talk to someone when I'd found out my brother had been arrested and was spending the night in jail for assault, and I'd wanted to talk to Lucas specifically because he was more logical and emotionally balanced than Alex. When we got to the hotel, I unlocked my door quickly to avoid the Alex storm that had been brewing in the hallway behind me. The minute his arm reached behind my shoulder to stop me from entering, I turned around to face him. He looked serious, determined, and what was the third thing? Exhausted. It couldn't be easy to live life the way he had, but I was worn out too. Flashes of his breath skating down the nape of my back when he retrieved the lyrics he wrote on me made my skin blossom into goosebumps. God, I was in trouble. I don't want to write tonight. My eyes followed the trail from his square chin to the collar of his gray Henley. His neck was slender and masculine at the same time. I wanted to lick it.
Me neither. I just want to talk.
He lowered his forehead and pressed it against mine, his breathing labored.
And maybe give you oral sex, but that's it.
I laughed through the ball of tears that had formed in my throat. What were we doing? Weren't we fighting 5 minutes ago? The door clicked behind me and we both fell in. The room was eerily quiet under the weight of the night and both our shitty days. I careened to the Virgin minibar, eager to do something with my hands, and plucked two bottles of water.
Sorry about your brother.
He braced himself over the TV stand, his face lined with worry. I felt the burden of his whiskey eyes on my shoulders as I passed him a bottle and watched him set it aside. I don't know why it was so easy to talk to Lucas and so difficult to talk to Alex. Maybe because Lucas always felt platonic. Maybe because Lucas didn't have any ulterior motives. And maybe it was because it felt like the air in my lungs was on fire, and all my nerves concentrated in one spot between my navel and groin the minute Alex was in the same room with me. I cleared my throat. Yeah, Craig got arrested tonight. It's his first offense. The guy was coming out of the strip club under our apartment block. He was very drunk and tried getting into his car with the intention of driving home. Craig was equally drunk and tried to pull him by the shirt through his window. Natasha said everything is fine, but I know she doesn't want me to worry. Alex paced in my direction, his predator stride sleek and calm. He stopped, pressing his palms into the wall behind me and his lips to the crown of my head, inhaling, not kissing my hair.
I'll send someone to bail him out tomorrow and lawyer him up good.
You don't need to do that, I said quietly, my face warming up. I felt more ashamed than I'd ever been before, because I knew it was one favor I was going to accept. His eyes darkened, and his jaw tensed. The change was subtle, but it was there. From afar, Alex Winslow looked like nothing could penetrate his armor. But he was an artist, and an artist's armor is full of bullets and cracks. That's how the lyrics and notes seep through. My breath hitched at his stare, at the nakedness of it, so much so that I felt a damp spot forming in my underwear. He didn't say a thing, but by not saying much, I knew, I read through the lines of his forehead and mouth and eyes. He hadn't done that because he liked me. He did that because that's what he did. He took care of the people around him, because he didn't know he had the option not to.